because he'd like to believe he wasn't that sort of copper. He settled for stepping out into the alley and saying, "Yeah?" A boy stared up at him. It had to be a boy. Nature would not have been so cruel as to do that to a girl. No single feature in itself was more than passably ugly, but the combination was greater than the sum of the parts. There was also the smell. It wasn't bad as such. It just wasn't entirely human. There was something feral about it.
"Eh," said its pinched-up face. "Look, tell you what, mister. You tell me where you're going, and I'll stop following you. Have we got a deal? Costs you no more than a penny, and that's a special price. Sadbeat will pay me a lot more than that to stop following them."
Vimes continued to stare. The creature was wearing an oversized evening dress jacket, shiny with grease and greenish with age, and a top hat that must once have been trodden on by a horse. But the bits that were visible between the two were regrettably familiar. "Oh, no," he moaned. "No, no, no."
"You're right, mister."
"No, no, no. Oh, ye gods, it had to happen, didn't it?
You want us to go and fetch Mossy, mister?"
Vimes pointed an accusing finger.
"You're Nobby Nobs, right?"
The urchin backed away.
"Might be. So what? Is that a crime?"
He turned to run, but Vimes's hand fell heavily on the shoulder.
"Some people might say so. You're Nobby Nobs, son of Maisie Nobs and Sconner Nobs." "Probably, probably. But I ain't done nothing, mister."
Vimes bent down to look into eyes that peered out at the world through a mask of grime.
"How about whizzing wipers, snitching tinklers, pulling wobblers, flogging tumblers, and running rambles?"
Nobby's brow creased in genuine puzzlement.
"What's pulling wobblers mean?" he said.
Vimes gave him a similar look. Street parley had changed a lot in 30 years.
"That's stealing trifles, small items, isn't it?" "No, no, no, mister, that's tottering Neville's," said Nobby, relaxing. "But you ain't doing badly for someone who's new. What's Oil of Angels?"
Memory flicked a card.
"A bribe," said Vimes. "And a dimber?"
said Nobby, grinning.
"Easy. Could be a head beggar, could be just a handsome man." "Well done. Bet you don't know how to fleeg a jade, though."
Once again, from a dusty recess, a memory unrolled. This one stuck in your mind.
"Dear me, do you know what? What a shame in one so young," said Vimes. "That's when you want to sell a broken-down horse and have to make it a bit frisky in front of the punters, and so you take some fresh, raw, hot ginger, lift up its tail and push the ginger."
"Caw," said Nobby, suddenly impressed.
"Everyone says you're a real quick learner, and that's true enough. You could have been born here."
"Why are you following me, Nobby Nobs?" said Vimes. The urchin held out a grubby hand. Some street language never changes. Vimes pulled out sixpence. It shone in Nobby's palm like a diamond in a chimney sweep's ear.
"One of 'em's a lady," he said, and grinned.
The hand stayed out.
"That was a bloody sixpence I just gave you, kid," Vimes growled. "Yeah, but I got to think of..."
Vimes grabbed the lapels of Nobby's greasy coat and lifted him up, and was mildly shocked to realise that there was practically no weight there. "Street urchin," he thought. "Urchin sounds about right, spiky, slimy, and smelling slightly of rotting seaweed. But there's hundreds of them round here, clawing a living off the very margins, and as I recall, Nobby was one of the sharpest, and as trustworthy as a chocolate hammer. But that's okay, there's ways to deal with that."
"How much," he said, "for you to work for me all the time?" "I got customers to think of," he began.
"Yeah, but I'm the one holding you up in one hand, right?" said Vimes. With his oversized boots dangling a foot above the ground, Nobby considered his position.
"All the time?"
"Right."
For something like that, I've got to be looking at a lordship every day."
"A dollar, guess again."
Half a dollar?"
"Not a chance. A dollar a week, and I won't make your life the utter misery, which, Nobby, I assure you, I can do in so many little ways." Still dangling, Nobby tried to work all this out.
"So, I'll be, kind of like a copper, right?"
he said, grinning artfully.
"Kind of." "Number one suspect says it's a good life being a copper, because you can pinch stuff without getting nicked."
"He's got that right," said Vimes.
"And he says if anyone gives you lip, you can bop 'em one and chuck 'em in the tanty,"
Nobby went on.
"I'd like to be a copper one day."
"Who's number one suspect?"
"That's what our man calls Sconner, our dad. Payment up front, yeah?"
Nobby added hopefully.
"What do you think?"